Gundunga Beast and Young Lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we are honored to have three great guests who are part of a theater movie production of the Kung Fu Zombies Saga, Shaman, Warrior, and Cannibals, a play by Say Mukta Vongse. And we are proud to have on the show this evening Michelle De Hoya, Elisa
Tiber,
and Norm Munoz.
Yes.
Welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
For our listeners that are not familiar with this play, can you guys give us some background in regards to it?
Yeah. So it's a Lao story. The playwright is Lao. And if you're at all familiar with the play, it actually first premiered 10 years ago, Kung Fu Zombies versus Cannibals, also with Theater Mu. And so this is the Kung Fu Zombies Saga, which is actually half of the show. The second half of the show is just a remount of Kung Fu Zombies versus Cannibals. And then the first half of the show is the prequel, or like a villain origin story. Of cults, Kung Fu Zombies, Shaman Warrior. It's quite the saga. It's like a 3-hour long run. It's really long, but just absolutely jam packed and flies by.
Yeah.
Yes. That's some quick context without too many spoilers.
For a theater production, is a 3-hour production the norm, or?
It's a little long for a lot of theater goers, but the feedback we've been getting is that it flies by.
And from what I can tell from doing some research on this play, there seems to be some very extensive fight scenes.
Oh, yes. How many fights do we have? About 20?
12? Over a dozen, at
okay.
least.
We have more than a dozen fights through the entire show.
Yeah. It's something somewhere between like 15, 25. I don't know. It depends what you classify as a fight. Like, right. There's lots of, I think every scene has combat, whether that's like a slap and a punch or something small versus like a full on, like big
fight.
Ensemble,
yeah,
8-person scene. Mm-hmm.
It required a lot of choreography and still requires a lot of upkeep and practice. Yeah. Our fight calls before every show last pretty long.
45 minutes is our going time right now. 45 minutes of just the fighting in the show.
Yeah, I think it
just practicing
to be an hour,
the fights,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing it for like an hour.
Mm-hmm. And what are the backgrounds all three of you have in regards to fight scenes or martial arts?
So I get asked this question. This is Michelle speaking. I get asked this question quite a bit, and I actually have no martial arts training, which is a pretty big compliment when people are like, how long have you been doing martial arts? And I'm like, literally not long, as in zero. But I'm a yoga instructor. I've been a yoga instructor for over 10 years. I've done circus acrobatics. I trained in Thailand for a while. I am a cardio kickboxing instructor, which is where I get some of my punching and kicking technique, but not much. Other than that, I've just danced pretty much my whole life. I'm just, I guess, a little convincing when it comes to my movement, but I think Norm and Elisa have a lot more movement experience than me.
Oh, I wouldn't say a lot more. We just have different experiences. I'm actually, my background is I'm a dancer. I'm a hula dancer. I've been doing that since I was 8 years old. So I'm several decades in now. But I've also got a lot of formal theater training, and my master's was actually primarily in Asian theater forms, and there was a lot of fake fighting in that as well. But Elisa over here, is our fighter.
Fight captain, actually.
Yes, our fight captain.
Yeah, it's still crazy how that happened. So for my background, this is Elisa speaking. I actually started out in dance, originally at the age of 5, got serious at 10. And I did that for about over 10 years. And I got into yoga, got certified at 16, and started teaching as I was in high school. And then I got into martial arts around a little before I turned 18. I always say I started late because it hasn't been that long now. And I've trained in over 10 martial arts in my time. I focus on 5, And the main ones that I do are our niece, Filipino martial arts, Kali, has many names. I train in Ino Santo Kali. I know that Guru Dan was a guest here recently. And I've had the pleasure of training with him. So I've trained in his style. I train in Darobio Pulahan Eskrima, Muay Thai, Wing Chun Kung Fu, just to name a couple. So I actually work at a gym. I work at Minnesota Kali Group. Colton is my boss. And so I just have a lot of, like, it's kind of movement's my life, martial arts my life, and I'm honored to be able to be on this show and provide my movement and some of my background to help people.
And to slightly veer off this, you did mention MKG, mm-hmm. and were you able to go to the workshop with Guru Daniel Inosanto?
Yes, I helped work the event, and I did also attend it as a student.
I must say, for a man who I think just turned 70,
he's in his 80s.
He's in 80s. I know.
Looks great.
I think 87. Okay, 87. I think he just turned 87 recently, but. For a man who's 87, he's sharp as a tack. Even really? The little I got to see of the workshop, you can see why many people throughout the years have
flocked to him. Yes, absolutely.
For our viewers, our listeners out there, two of you guys are, I guess, quote unquote, local actors. And Norm,
yes.
You're from out of town. How did you become a part of this great cast?
Well, the artistic director of Theater Mu, who also happens to be the director of this show, Lily Tung Crystal, she and I go back several years. We both lived in San Francisco at the same time, and we were in a musical together maybe 15 plus years ago. And we reconnected. We stayed in contact, but we reconnected sometime last year, and she brought up that she was looking for movers and actors, and I was lucky enough to fit the bill.
Yeah, when we when Norm and I workshopped this back in January,
yes.
at the Playwright Center, I had never met you before, but as soon as like I saw you move and even just say the lines for Hanuman, the Monkey King, I was like, there is no better person in the country, in the world, to play this role.
Well, I do. So I play, one of the characters I play is Hanuman, the Monkey King, and I have actually played a primate almost 24 times in my career, in some shape or form. I'm like, I'm not sure if I should be insulted at this point, but it's my bread and butter being a monkey.
So, I guess you're the renowned expert on playing a monkey.
I guess so.
We all know our place. I play angsty teen probably half a dozen or two dozen times too.
Yeah.
And for our listening audience that is not familiar with the venue that the play is taking place, what's makes this place different compared to other venues?
The Luminary is humongous. First of all, it's gorgeous. It's a great space. It is in essence a giant basement, but they've done it up gorgeously. It's like a giant basement / giant black box. It can fit such a great size audience, and we've been lucky enough to keep it close to filled every night. It's where the Minnesota Opera performs, Minneapolis Opera.
Yeah, Minnesota Opera. It's one of their locations. They recently bought it. It was previously, so if you've heard of the Lab Theater, it was formerly known as the Lab, and now it's called the Luminary now that Minnesota Opera has bought it, and they renovated it. So if you haven't seen a show in the space since it was the Lab, it actually looks totally different, which is really awesome. And I believe, I hope I'm not misquoting, but I believe part of the renovations was adding a sprung floor. So which has been just amazing for our production, because we have so much like high impact and high intensity fighting and rolling on the ground. It's just really nice for our joints so we can keep doing this till we're 87.
Hopefully beyond.
But for right now, we're going to give our guests a bit of a break. For right now, we're going to play our first set of songs for the evening. It is from an artist who made news this past week as Easy Mill was recently signed to Aftermath and Shady Records as a new performer for them. But this is from his performance at the Filipino Heritage Night of the LA Clippers versus Utah Jazz this past winter.
All right, y'all ready to get this party started? It's halftime. I'm in the building. E-Rock is here. Ladies and gentlemen, he was born in Olongpo City, Philippines. His Panalo Wish bus performance reached over 75 million plays. Let's welcome international rapper, singer, musician, dancer, Easy Mel! Let's go!
Hey, what's up? I got y'all from Bedrock with me. Let's go. And we don't know what. Step. What? Okay. Let's go. Look, screw that mainstream. It's if I ain't got a piece, I got a couple sharp things slip. I sense you mad, Marcus, to watching the same drip. While I'm flooding the TV business, all in my eight trips. I ain't going with mud, others claiming that they be lit. With the same old mug, 17 on the lane whip. I done took my product from the trap for the rain hit. Cause I'm up on my price while opposition remains sick. I ain't ducking the bullies, you siding me. Why you hiding your face with my eyes can see? That we deep in the season for crap, bitch. Watch me drill down my seat while I'm sowing my D. And it goes like up, down, dutch, fly. Wanna see up now, uptown, so shy. Bossing in the club, it go like up, down, dutch, fly. Wanna see up now, uptown, so shy. Bossing in the club, it go like step, down, dutch, fly. And walk, up, now, step, down, dutch, fly. Step, down, dutch, fly. Walk, baby, help it go like step, down, dutch, fly. Every 1, 2, 3.
Black males, white girls, Asians and Latinas, Hawaiian girls and islanders, and I'm a Filipina. All these motherfuckers hating just cause I don't wanna be a stand down, sergeant. I'm the captain of this real. We got black males, white girls, Asians and Latinas, Hawaiian girls and islanders, and I'm a Filipina. All these motherfuckers hating just cause I don't wanna be a stand down, sergeant. I'm the captain of this real.
We got a lot of things to show and not to tell. And my partners and them know. Drop hits to sell all this product on the low. The shot teas can smell without me cooking. Cause I'm dope and I got them tweaking like hell. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Made this in the basin while I'm lit, boy. Shout a stop for these bums. Get you a rich, boy. I can wait. I'm a patient little peanut. Planet Earth is the best. Cause we
know.
First true Filipino rapper on the news. Enjoy it if you're cool. Haters can lose while I put my city on the map. 22-00, wrong up a city, no cap. Never forgetting the street with my cousin was sick. We always just listen to rap. Can't drink, I'm an ASAP. With some metal and mammy, we turn up with that. Been mundane till the sun came. Number one fame like a kid in the track. Hey, I've been in Spain, but I let the S is silent. I'm claiming my reign like a king so I can water cough for surviving.
That was Easy Mail from his performance at the Filipino Heritage Night at the LA Clippers Utah Jazz game.
I think we all liked that one.
That was a vibe.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a vibe.
We're grooving out over here.
But from the reviews that we've read locally, the play is getting quite the vibe by the reviewers.
Yay. The been very generous reviews, very gracious, and we are grateful. I think everyone, almost everyone in this room, right? Like, or in the cast has gotten some kind of mention.
Yeah.
The director and the playwright have gotten really good mentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was really actually, I mean, myself especially, just being a local actor that I was really, really happy that, I guess I won't say exactly which reviewer it was because I don't want to call it out or anything, but one of them just gave a special, specific shout out and like was really impressed with the performance of myself and Katie Bradley. And that was really moving just because there are a lot of out-of-town actors, and I love all of you who are from out-of-town, but it just felt really good to like for them to showcase and admire the local talent that is locally grown here and is so strong in our community in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. You're turning out excellent performances. Mm-hmm. But it's not just that, too. They're also really pointing out how it's just such a female-driven show.
Yes.
It's a story of women and daughters and mothers and grandmothers and the lineage through that. So some things are being highlighted and focused here that don't always get focused.
Mm-hmm. And in the first part of this play, it's kind of, they say, a prequel to the second part of the play. What can you tell us for our listeners that aren't familiar with the original play?
Yeah, they're different styles for sure. So I think the second half, which is the one people are more familiar with, the Kung Fu Zombies versus Cannibals, is just, it's very like comic book action kind of style. The comedy of it is much more, I'd say, modern and like quippy, whereas the act one is in a way a little more, not just ethereal, but almost dreamlike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of it feels like a memory, like a very vivid memory.
Yeah. And
it's like an epic.
Yeah, I feel like Act 2, Part 2, Kung Fu Zombies vs. Cannibals is very like, you're kind of taking them and throwing them down the stairs. And whereas like Part 1, the prequel or the villain origin story is more of like, you're being lured down the stairs. You know what I mean?
Good metaphor.
Yeah, each of the acts have very different energies to them. Mm-hmm. Not just with like the movement, but also with like what's actually happening in the scenes and what's setting up.
And definitely the fighting styles, mm-hmm. like you playing the mountain demon.
Yeah.
Like the fighting styles in Part 1 are so very different than the way we see them in Act 2. I think that's really admirable and kind of just cool to the way that the storytelling is also being told, the text is being told. I think Mooks had talked really particularly also about not wanting to adhere to like the Western ways of mm-hmm. storytelling. Mm-hmm. Because some people had some responses early on in the process where, well, I don't think we can follow that exactly. Or, well, this isn't quite how, like, the arc of a story should unfold. And Mooks was like, I just want it to be our stories. It doesn't need to, like, flow in the way a Western story does. So I do love that about it. It's very different than what you're used to, but it's so full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess we should point out, too, like, even though we're all here in this room, in this studio, because we're Filipino, it's when it boils down to it, this is a Lao play and it's a Lao theme and something that our playwright has said. And pretty much, I think we only have one Lao actor in the cast. We've got a couple of Hmong people and then Sudavan, who is Lao as well. They like to point out that this is written kind of as a love letter to the Lao people and the Lao culture. So we want to honor that as well.
Yeah. I think they, and then also this, with this production round, they were really good about a lot of outreach for auditions and really wanted to have a lot of representation of Southeast Asian performers. And I'm really happy that that was able to happen. Just us Filipinos, there's Hmong, but Laotian, Vietnamese.
Yeah, it's a great cast. It's a huge cast. Mm-hmm. It's an epic show. It's such a big show and it took really long to tech. But it's visually like the set and the projections are really stunning. Mm-hmm. And then the cast is so big. We've got such a motley crew of characters, not just on stage, but backstage too. Like some of us, we might not really know each other if not for this show, but and I like everybody. I think we all get along really well. Usually, especially in a cast this big, there's going to be like one person who just gets under your skin or like,
oh,
gets
do tell.
I know. Well, I realized the other day, like, oh my gosh, if it's not you or you or you, oh no, it's me.
I was saying to someone recently about how doing an all Asian show was really cool because there's things you don't have to explain in the rehearsal process.
Yeah.
Like you do something and or you're having a bad day and someone goes, have you eaten?
There is always food. Always, always food.
Just yeah. Constantly, like the love language and the communication style is so nice when it's within your own community.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you heard of the response from the Laotian community in regards to the production?
I think in general, it seems to be gratitude and appreciation. You know, again, as minorities ourselves, there are so many places that we don't see ourselves reflected in media and on the main stage. And I think the Lao community is acutely aware of that. And so when they see this love letter that's been written to them, I think it strikes a nerve.
And I know that Theater Mu has quite a great reputation in regards to the theater community, especially even in the Asian American theater community. Norm, with you being from out of state, what does a theater company like Theater Mu mean to Asian American actors?
It's just representation. Well, so many things, but representation definitely is in the forefront. And telling our stories by our people, for our people, that's a big thing. Yeah. And, you know, being an outsider to Minnesota, somebody who really appreciates it, by the way, it's everything here has been a surprise to me, a wonderful surprise, you know. Outside of the Midwest, people think of it as just pretty homogenous and really melanin deficient. and then I get here and it's so much more diverse and people are just really wonderful. And I know it's not winter and I know it's a totally different story if I were to come here in the winter. But right now, everybody's in such a great mood. The birds are out and chirping, the sun's shining. And everybody is just kind of making the most out of it. And then you discover this huge, important, working, thriving theater community. And within that, an Asian community, a community of Asian actors and performers and movers and all the different stories of how these people got here, how I got here, how you got here. Every story is valid and interesting. And so it's really nice.
I grew up in Green. Myself and Alisa, we both grew up in sort of small town in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know if a lot of listeners would know this, but why would they know this unless they have read up on all the reviews? But I moved here 10 years ago, and this was the first Theater Mu show I saw 10 years ago, Kung Fu Zombies versus Cannibals. And again, I didn't know what I was expecting when it came to seeing people who looked like me. And I came to that show and saw people who looked like me on stage and in the audience. I actually went to that show during the zombie pub crawl. So I thought there were zombies all over town for this show. And I was like, wow, this must be such like cool thing. But that was 10 years ago. And it was like my opening to like Theater Mu and realizing I had community. And so moving here was just like such an eye opener. And then 10 years later to be able to play this role, it's just something I never saw as an opportunity when I lived in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Alisa, if you had something. How did you feel, like, South Carolina to here? Do you feel like there's a difference?
I think that with where we're from specifically, like, I think it's becoming more diverse and the city is growing in many ways. But I know growing up that in the environments I was in, especially with dance, there wasn't anyone who looked like me at the studio I went to. Mm-hmm. And even in school, the high school I graduated from, I was one out of two Asians who actually graduated. So it was really hard to find community because there was just not an open community like that. And being able to come here and being able to be cast in this show when I have no actual theater experience, just previous performing experience, is my first big production or production ever. It's really healing, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of this and see and get to know people like me.
Yeah, I came of age in Hawaii and the San Francisco Bay Area, so I had a wildly different upbringing. I was surrounded by people who looked like me. I was privileged enough to see myself reflected everywhere I looked. In fact, there were some places when I first started going out to clubs and stuff, if you saw somebody who wasn't at least partly Filipino, you'd be like, what are you doing here? Like, okay. You know, it's like, well, I guess we got to explain stuff for you. But I can still come here. And it makes me 1,000 times more grateful for what I grew up with than mm-hmm. I was before I got here, to see just the different avenues and the way things could have been different for me and the way things are different for so many people. Like, you know, we all have origin stories. Very few people, especially of our ilk, get to this country without some kind of a bit of horror. But I'm lucky enough where my family didn't have to be refugees. They didn't have to seek mm-hmm. refuge in the same way that some of the communities out here did. And we thrived in a place that was kind of made for us, whereas some communities out here have had to create that place for themselves, and they're luckily thriving too. But we all still have a lot of demons to battle, some, you know, zombies to fight. So,
well, as someone who's interviewed Michelle in the past and have kind of seen the growth of Michelle as an actress, definitely learning from these two, Norm and Michelle, that, you know, if you keep yourself, quote unquote, in the game and continue to keep acting, that there's so many diverse parts. I mean, I've seen reviews where Michelle's played a soccer player. She's played period pieces.
Apparitions.
So the sky's the limit in regards to the theater world. Before we end the show for this evening, where can our listeners learn more about the play? It runs through August the 13th.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of information on Theater Moo's website for mm-hmm. it, but for tickets specifically, you can't buy those on Theater Moo's website. You can buy them on the Luminary Arts Center's website.
Yes.
I do believe Moo does link it through their website, though, if you want to look at it.
Yeah. It's worth seeing. Are you going to come see it?
Yeah. I definitely will. I must also thank Leanna McLernan.
Yes,
who definitely was an advocate for getting the Filipino connection.
The Filipino contingency of the cast.
I also must wish congratulations to one of the other fight coordinators, Al Malixi, who recently celebrated a wedding, I believe this.
Maybe. Is that where it is?
Okay, maybe I'm bringing some news, but congratulations.
And he's also Filipino. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and then also Sandy Augustine.
Yeah, Sandy Augustine. She's like my Filipino fairy godmother here.
Yes. And she's one of the founders of Moo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of us.
Yes.
More to come, right?
Yeah, and we've been Filipinoing up. We go out to Apoy. We
yes.
You, what was the grocery
gonna,
store
I'm
you were
at?
I'm
going to take us all to Filipino Village, specifically Cucina.
Yeah.
I went to Calzada this weekend.
Yeah. It's like, it's, as somebody from not really here, it's pleasantly surprising to see how strong the Filipino community is out here and how present and how well fed we are.
Emphasis on the
would not yeah. be Filipino if we were not well fed.
Right? That's yes. how we show affection. We deep fry things.
Yeah.
But I'd like to thank you three for coming into the show.
Thanks for having us.
This evening, we're going to end the show with Easy Mill's sister, Rain, aka Raining Sorrow, with her song called Dysthremia. Stay tuned for sound effects.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi. Too horrible or rambling, was it?